Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
The tips, tools, support, and inspiration you need on your wellness journey. Rewired Radio with Erica Spiegelman.
Welcome, everyone. After the acute and pressing aspects of a psychiatric experience or an experience with addiction or dependency, you know, we handle that. And then sometimes people feel like there's a drop off in support and they don't really have the community that they need to hold them up. They don't feel connected and they stop asking for help. And every day the treatment ends, there's suddenly less and less resources readily available. But my guest today, Dr. Ross Ellenhorn, works every day to make sure people have a community and a consistent support network. He aims to also help people get care in their community rather than in a hospital. And Dr. Ellenhorn is here today to talk about his treatment model and what it can teach us about approaching recovery in a different way. Dr. Ellenhorn, welcome to the show. So grateful to have you on.
Well, it's great to be on. Thank you.
It's so nice to talk to somebody that, you know, embraces obviously a different model of treatment, but also understands that, you know, community, that support, that love, connectedness is also one of the key ingredients to a successful road to any kind of recovery. So, you know, I know that a lot of other models and programs out there don't discuss this as much. So can you tell the audience a little bit about what you've seen and how, if we could start reframing this and looking at it differently, how that will help us?
As far as how community helps people?
Community and having that support and love and guidance and accountability.
Right. Well, let me give you a couple examples from the research just to sort of begin to think about what community means to people, what connection means to people. There's a very famous experiment called Cyberball, where they have people think that they're playing a computer game, throwing a ball between three people, and they're one of the three. And the computer's programmed to only have two of the people throw it back and forth while the participant watches them throw it back and forth. And they take that person afterwards, and they put them in an fMRI machine that looks at their brain, and the pain matrix in their brain is all lit up.
Mm-hmm.
So that little moment of ostracism on a computer, never seen the people, has this profound effect on the brain.
Wow.
So profound that they're in pain. So when we say, you hurt my feelings, we're actually saying something neurologically true.
Hmm.
So that's how important our connections are and our belongingness is. It's scientific.
Wow.
It's in the brain. It's physiological. You know?
Mm-hmm. Very powerful.
The other experiment that's very famous, as I'm sure you've heard about, is Rat Park. Where these rats used to, when they first did the studies of opiates, and these rats would, constantly pick the water with the opiate in it to the point when they died.
Mm-hmm.
And these were rats that were alone. But when they put rats together in a community where there was actually things to do, they stopped going to the opiate water. So again, what was going on for that single rat was addiction, but it was also addiction that came out of the fact that the rat was very isolated. So we just know that our connections and our community are really a central part of our health.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've read a lot about that particular experiment, and I'm glad that it is actually so kind of widespread at the moment. So
right.
we were also just, you know, in terms of discussing community, you know, there's people out there that are dealing with co-occurring disorders and kind of, you know, feel like not only do they have, which co-occurring disorders is having mental illness and dealing with kind of addiction issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
How is it that we're normalizing, or how are you and your company normalizing this for people in a different way so they don't feel like not only do I have to deal with one issue, I have two issues now to deal with?
Yeah, well, there's a very important person right now by the name of Gabor Mate who's writing a lot about it's not addiction, it's pain. That addiction is a person dealing with a significant amount of pain. So we really try to talk to our clients about the pain of what they've been through, often through because of treatment, because of the kind of treatments they've had. And pain is something that we can share. We all have these experiences of painful events. And so pain is normalizing in that sense. We do talk about diagnoses here, but we don't use them in a way where we're making the person feel labeled. It's about sort of experiences they're having, not about who they are. And so this is a very humanistic approach. When you're really what we do is we're really talking about how to get people back to school and back to work. And we also don't treat people in a facility. We treat them in their own apartment. So people come from all over the world and all over the country. They come here. They may stay at our residential program a bit before they find an apartment. But our model actually can really work with people that are having severe substance abuse issues and severe psychiatric issues in their own homes. And we believe that being integrated in the world is treatment in itself.
Right. I absolutely agree. But with the right help and with the people that are responsible and won't re-traumatize, these clients, like you said, it's interesting, the word trauma, you know, Dr. Mate talks about that a lot too, but trauma in itself, you know, I don't think people understand that, there's a, you know, continuum of trauma. There's trauma that, you know, we don't need to minimize. There's little traumas that we've experienced, and then there's bigger traumas. And how do you, you know, which is great, but how do you get the clients to also see that those traumas can be healed and they can deal with it and move forward? Yeah.
Right. So just very quickly, Mate's talking about traumas that are very sort of embedded in us because they happen in childhood. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about traumas that actually are recoverable in a quicker manner because we're talking about traumas that are happening right now that if you fix, they can kind of go away. So ostracism is happening right now to this person. If we can help this person get linked back into the community, it solves a lot of the problem, right? It doesn't have to live with them for the rest of their life. It's not something that happened to them in childhood. It's what we call an adverse adult event, not an adverse childhood event, right? So it is different than his stuff, but it is still talking about pain, right? That this psychological event is happening to you right now, and to solve it, we got to get you out of the event.
Right, but both of those traumas do involve negative self-talk, and you know, when you've gone through any kind of trauma, it's really hard to just say, hey, stop talking about yourself in a negative way, or just get some confidence. It's not as easy as you know. So whether it's through childhood or whether it's through adulthood trauma, it's still, I think, a matter of also, which I'm sure you guys do, is helping them reframe certain thoughts, you know, how to build confidence, to see themselves in a different light, and I guess through just introducing them to communities in a different way, they get to experience themselves hopefully in a more positive light and develop these healthy relationships.
Right. I would say that the opposite of trauma is mastery and control over your life. And so it is a kind of treatment to help a person have their own apartment and to feed themselves and to make their bed and to clean up and all of that. That is treatment in itself. It's not just behavior, it's treatment. And so both of these traumas are also taken care of by this what we call psychosocial intervention, you know. Working and being self-sufficient is anti-trauma, you know. That's sort of how we look at that. Not that other trauma therapies are important, and not that office-based work isn't important, but work in the community is vitally important too.
Absolutely. And I love that you said that. And that is such a wonderful way to put it, that the opposite of trauma is mastery, because it is mastering your life. And then you develop a little bit more pride in what you do every day. So I think, you know, that is just positive momentum, you know, like just every day completing something and being proud of yourself, which leads to the next hopeful, positive action. So I appreciate you sharing that with us. Can you tell our listeners where to find you, your website, and any other information?
Sure. We're at PrakashEllenhorn.com. That's PrakashEllenhorn.com. And our 800 number is 800-515-9972.
That's wonderful. And the facility is located in the Boston area. So thank you, Dr. Ellenhorn, for being with us to have this really insightful discussion. You're listening to Rewired Radio on Radio MD. I'm Erica Spiegelman. Thank you for joining us, and stay well.